drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're talking to everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and work-at-home mom of two who would love to devote more time to creative writing and journaling.
And I'm Abigail Krebs, the writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm living my creative life nights and weekends after I get home from my job at an ad agency.
And you're listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast. Welcome to the final episode of season 3 of Chasing Creative. It was a bit of a short season this time around, and that is because life keeps happening and keeps us pretty busy. So it's just Abby and I again to update you on what we've got going on, what we're planning for our upcoming podcast break, and what you can expect with season 4. So how have you been lately, Abby?
Lately, life is busy. Like you said, life just kind of takes over. We tried to get most, if not all, of season 3 recorded and edited and ready to go before I am out on maternity leave, which has been awesome to think about not having to worry about that with a newborn. But it's made the first, quarter of 2017 a little hectic as far as trying to get ready for a baby and get everything tidied up at my day job, and then also get things tidied up here at Chasing Creative. So it's been a lot of fun, but I'm very glad that season 3 is kind of wrapping up with this episode. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's a lot how I felt at the end of season 1, because season 1 was our long season where we were actually on top of it and we did like 20 something episodes, which was insane looking back on it.
Yes.
And that's like, we wrapped up like several months before I was due with Reagan. And I remember just being like, I cannot keep recording a podcast. I'm so pregnant and you're due in like just a couple weeks. So I don't know how you've even been keeping up with it still. I'm impressed because I was totally checked out by this point.
You were done. I think you also like just physically were carrying a lot higher and were having like breath issues. Like I can't say full sentences without taking breaths in between. And this baby is not in my rib cage for some reason. So I haven't been doing too bad.
And that's how I felt too. But what I've noticed is every time someone who's pregnant is interviewed on a podcast, they always say that they feel out of breath and I can never hear it.
Okay.
So pregnant women everywhere who are recording things and putting them online, take heart. Like people probably can't notice.
That's excellent to hear. And what about you? How has life been kind of in the last couple of weeks as we've been wrapping up recording? Have you been looking forward to the end, or are you going to miss it for a while?
Yeah, we've had a lot of sickness, like winter sickness going through our house with both me and my husband and the kids. And it's just going to be nice to sort of have a break and have our weekends free. Not that the podcast takes up that much weekend time, but sometimes I just feel like, oh, I should be editing a podcast episode and I don't feel like it this weekend, but I should be. So it'll be nice to have that off our plates for right now. And I'm actually pretty excited for season 4, which we haven't totally announced this yet. I think we might have mentioned it in Lisa's episode, but we're going to do just the two of us conversations about creativity in season 4 to give us a little bit of a break from lining up guest interviews. And that feels like a total relief. I don't know how you feel about it, but like we love our guests, but it's a lot of work to coordinate all that and get those interview questions ready. And it'll be nice to just have some more laid back conversations.
Absolutely. And we feel so much more pressure too to have things like laid out for our guests a couple weeks in advance so that they can take a look at any questions and make sure that they're comfortable with everything. And for Ashley and I think we started putting together an outline for this episode yesterday. Be like, hey, here's a Google Doc. What do you think? So a lot more laid back.
Yes, I was like adding to it, typing one-handed while the kids ate lunch today. Yeah, we're very professional.
But it does make it really nice that we don't have to do a lot of work leading up to recording. And so hopefully even just hopping on recording, just only scheduling around two of our schedules instead of three of our schedules. And considering Ashley and I are both in the same time zone, and we're not trying to factor in people who are Pacific Coast or East Coast, I think it'll be a lot less stressful once we both have children and are trying to figure out a time between random nap times to make this happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there were some magic way that we could make all of our children nap at the same time, think of how much we could get done. Yeah. It's never going to happen. I can't even get my two to nap at the same time.
So luckily I hear newborns just sleep a lot. So we'll see how that goes for me.
Yes, may the odds be ever in your favor on that one.
We're hoping a lot. So what do you have planned then while we're on a break for creativity or any projects or anything like that?
Nothing too specific. We don't have like a super set plan for how long of a break it's going to be. We're going to play it by ear. We're hoping to be back sometime this summer, or back recording this summer anyway. So since we're not sure how long the break is going to be, I'm not really sure what creative projects are going to fall in there. I started doing a 100 days project, which I think we talked about with Rachel Dawson in her episode. I don't even know the official dates for the 100 days project. I was just like, oh, it's March 1st. That seems like a good time to start a project. So I started just randomly on my own. And so what I'm doing is 100 lines of fiction. So every day I need to write at least one line of fiction. It doesn't need to be at all connected to any of the other lines of fiction that I'm writing. And usually I'll jot down more than that, because whoever writes just one sentence once you get started. Yeah. So that's been going fairly well. I've been tracking that so far, and I have missed like 3 or 4 days, but I've gone back and caught up on them. So okay. It's kind of just a laid back project to get me into writing again, and that'll continue on through our break. So how about you?
Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. I love the idea of 100 lines of fiction that don't have to be connected to each other. A lot less pressure to like build a story or have a complete narrative arc. Like, it's just fiction. It's just whatever I want. So yes. That's really cool. For me, I am kind of not setting goals on purpose, kind of like I did for just in general 2017. I have no idea what life with a newborn is going to look like. So kind of setting myself up to fail at some epic creative project sounds like a really bad idea. I'm thinking maybe I'll get ambitious and actually decorate the nursery/kids room. I haven't done that yet. Ooh. And we're, as of today, like 3 weeks from our due date. So maybe need to hang some pictures and that sort of thing. But that's about as much pressure as I can take at this point. So that.
Yeah, if it makes you feel better, there are still not blinds in Hadley and Reagan's room. Or there are blinds, there aren't curtains. So like you can't like see in their room at night, but it's just like there's no window hangings. Like it's not cute at all. It's just it's fine. Hadley's bed is on the floor, because I was like, who needs to buy a toddler bed? She can sleep on a mattress on the floor in the corner. Like, it's not... your kid will be fine.
Oh, I have no doubt. We also just bought blinds, because, I mean, we just bought a house, so we don't have money for things like curtains, but we did buy blinds because everybody sleeps better in the dark, including babies. So, yeah, there will be no curtains anytime soon. Like, I think my level of decoration might be printing a couple of things off of Etsy and putting them in frames and hanging them on the wall. Like, this isn't going to be some hand-painted mural or anything.
Yeah, there are people on Pinterest who are good at that, and like that can be their thing, but that's not my thing.
Exactly. I have a lot of other things that I would maybe rather do other than paint a wall that a kid is most likely going to color on with permanent marker in 3 years.
We end up with a lot of poop on our walls, which I know sounds like so odd, but seriously, once you have a toddler, they'll just be like, oh, I pooped. Like, what's in my diaper? Oh, it's poop. Where should I put this? Yeah. Like, on the wall, or the wall that's next to the changing table. Like, it's whatever. It's not even worth it. Don't worry about making it cute. Your mural will have poop all over it.
So the best strategy would be to paint every wall like some kind of greenish brown. Is that what you're saying?
You know, it's probably not the worst strategy in the world.
Oh, goodness. Maybe regretting the choice of white for a nursery. We'll see. But
well, it'll wash clean. It's fine.
Yeah. So how have your goals for 2017 been going? Have you been kind of keeping on track with anything that you set a couple of months ago?
They've been going okay. You know, I can't honestly remember what I talked about in the first episode of this season as far as goal setting goes, but I will say that as of probably tonight, I'm going to work on it once we finish this podcast, Reagan's Christmas stocking will be finished.
Nice.
The one that I started knitting a full year ago and that was like 95% done 2 months before she was born. And then I just stopped because I was like, oh, I have time to finish this. Yeah. And I just never went back to it. And now it's been on my list like literally every day up until Christmas, and then Christmas came and went and I sort of lost steam on it, and now I'm like, no, I need to finish this stupid Christmas stocking. So that's a win. That's almost done.
Excellent. Yeah, it'll be done in time for Christmas this year. You're good to go.
I know, just as long as it's time for the next holiday, right?
Yeah.
So how about you? I know that you had sort of said that you don't really have any big goals you're tackling in 2017, but you are using some fun tools like the Get to Notebook, which we talked about with Elise a few episodes ago. So is that still going well for you?
Yeah. So I had intentionally not set goals other than to just write more, I guess, or just to write something every day or something close to every day. And I haven't written every day because we're also getting ready for a baby. It's kind of the ad nauseum rigor of the day these days. But I have been sporadically writing, like periodically I'll just have a whole bunch of thoughts and write things down and then won't think about writing anything for 2 weeks. So it's been going okay. I still have my Get to Workbook. I still depend on it to get through every week, especially with as many like doctor's appointments and dentist appointments and, you know, baby classes and things like that that we have going on. It's still a sanity saver as much as it was last year while we were building the house. So I think anyone who's trying to do any kind of big project alongside having a full life already, a Get to Workbook is just kind of an essential tool that I would try to sell them on every year.
Yeah, it sounds like it's been a really good like a good resource for you to have sort of keeping everything on track, because I know like the official doctors say that baby brain is not a thing, but I'm here to tell everyone that it is. Those doctors are wrong. Like baby brain is totally a thing. And if there's a calendar out there, like the Get to Workbook that will like keep you on track, then go for it.
Yeah. On Monday of this week, I had set my work computer. I had brought it home because I'd worked from home Friday afternoon after doing a media segment and kind of headed home all weekend long and was supposed to take it back with me to the office on Monday morning, and got about 5 minutes away from the office and realized that my computer was still hanging in the mudroom next to where my coat used to be hanging that I was currently wearing, which means I forgot my computer at home. And I work about 45 minutes away from where I live. So that was a bad, I'm going to chalk it up to pregnancy brain moment. So Get to Workbook didn't help me on Monday.
Yeah, that's okay though. I mean, like, it can only do so much.
Exactly. It can't live my life for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've been still using and loving the Power Sheets so far, which are, I know people have been really big fans of the Power Sheets for years, and I just got into them this year because I was sort of a skeptic about it. I was like, oh, there's all these goal setting tools and resources and tips online already. Like, what do I need this for? But it is surprisingly really helpful. Like, I was sort of afraid that I would just like set my goals at the beginning of the year and then never look at it again, but I actually leave it out open on my desk all the time, and I love how it lays out like, these are your monthly goals, your weekly goals, your daily goals. So they're always sort of there and they're always top of mind.
Nice.
And every season you go through and you either rewrite your original yearly goals or you get rid of them if they don't apply, or if you accomplished them, or if you just decided that it's not important to you anymore. And I appreciate that too, because sometimes you start out with a goal in January and then something happens by April and you don't care about that goal anymore. So I like that it gives you space for that flexibility.
Yeah, no, that sounds really good. And just making sure that they're top of mind as you go throughout the year. Like you said, breaking them down into kind of more manageable chunks. Has that kind of helped as well?
Yes, for sure. Because what I started doing was, I was like, I'm pretty good at setting like daily and weekly goals, you know, like meal planning or like go to the gym at least this many times a week and write my line of fiction every day, that kind of thing. But monthly goals, I was really having trouble with. I was like, well, what would I do every month aside from like clean the house, which I'm just not going to do anyway, so why write it down? So I was like, what could I put down for monthly goals? So I started doing these, like, I call them weekend projects because they're things I plan to tackle on the weekend. And that was things like finishing Reagan's Christmas stocking and finishing a photo album for Hadley, like her baby album, which is embarrassing because she's almost three.
Hey, we've discussed this before. I still have a wedding album that's 10 and a half years unfinished. So don't feel bad.
Well, I've made progress on all of my like weekend project goals, but they all keep carrying over into the next month. So what I've realized is that like, okay, I can't have more than one weekend project each month, even though technically there are four weekends. Like I'm probably going to end up not like I'll be like too busy one weekend or it'll take longer than I thought it would, or there'll be some sort of a hang up or we'll all be sick or whatever. So once again, lowering my expectations and planning for smaller, more manageable things. So the weekend projects that keep going over and over again are the Christmas stocking, which I will be done with today, and the photo album, which I printed out, I thought all the pictures for, but then I realized that I forgot a batch of photos. So now I need to go back and print more. And once again, now it's going to take longer than I thought it would. So we'll get there. We'll figure it out. I will hone my system.
It's amazing too, when you look at a weekend and you're like, wow, I have a full Saturday and Sunday with nothing on the calendar. I'm going to get so much done. And then you realize all the things that weren't on the list, but that still need done, like laundry and, you know, maybe vacuuming and that kind of thing. And it all just doesn't get done like you thought it would. So yeah, maybe planning a weekend project for every two or three weekends is a better idea for everyone involved.
It's just one of those things where life gets a hold of us, as it always seems to. So
yeah.
So we are also going to talk about work and what work is going to look like for us in the next few months, which is especially fun for you because you'll be on maternity leave. What work?
Exactly. So I will be on maternity leave of some sort. Interesting enough, as we record this podcast this week, I got laid off of my day job, which is a blessing and a curse, kind of a blessing in disguise, maybe. I've got a couple of weeks before this baby arrives to focus on wrapping a bunch of things up that I was not going to be able to do. So that's really nice. And then kind of an unlimited amount of maternity leave at this point. And then can kind of figure out life from there. So what I had planned was to go back to work part-time and be able to work from home, which was going to be awesome. I'm a little bummed that may or may not be a possibility at this point. My company definitely wants to work with me again, maybe on a freelance basis, which would be the best of all worlds. So hopefully that works out. But it's definitely not a guarantee. So just going to kind of see what the next couple of months brings and see what, you know, kind of June, July look like when I'm ready to jump back into some kind of workforce in some capacity.
Yeah, I think you've definitely got the right perspective on that and looking at it as like, well, at least I've got a chance to wrap some things up now. And what I really appreciate about being a freelancer is that all the power is sort of in your hands when you're ready to go back. So instead of having to commit to a date where you're like, all of a sudden you are 20 hours a week, have to be at work, even if that's working from home, you can sort of ease into it now and take on like one client and then two clients and sort of get a feel for how it's going to work into your schedule.
Exactly. And that's kind of the outlook I'm trying to have, is like, now I can kind of go back whenever I feel like, and it doesn't have to be some weird like FMLA determination of this is 12 weeks, the end, if I'm not ready. Or if I'm ready sooner, I can kind of take things a day at a time or a week at a time and go from there.
Yeah, so unlimited maternity leave. That's a good way to think of it.
Yeah. Unfortunately unpaid, but you know, that was going to be the case anyway. So it's not that big of a change from what I had been planning on for at least the months of like April, May, June. So what about you? You are going to obviously continue to work. You're not going to maternity leave with me, as sad as that sounds.
I wish. I'm here for support. Yeah. 5 hours away.
It's fine.
So I am sort of like, spring is usually my busiest time of year, and I have no idea why that is, but it's been consistent for the past 3 years that like March, April, May, and sometimes even June are my busiest months by far. So I'm sort of just planning that that'll be the case, even though I have no idea why that trend has been established. So something I'm working on is sort of digging into my business metrics and figuring out how to be a better business owner instead of just like being a freelancer, basically. So like, not like I won't stop working with clients. I will definitely still be working with clients. They'll still be the focus for all my days, but saying no to projects that I don't have time for, trying to figure out like what activities are best to spend my time on so that I can keep my work time as low as possible, without necessarily reducing how much money I'm able to bring in. So it's going to be a very business-minded, focused season, I think, and we'll see how well I'm able to balance that with the increased client need. Hopefully it all goes okay because the weather will start getting nicer, we hope, and that's always when I start wanting to just not work at all. Of course, that always coincides with my busy season, so we'll see. Hopefully it all works out on my end as well. Yeah.
If there's any reason to hope that winter lasts forever and ever, it's so that you're more productive. Is that it?
Yeah, pretty much. Like that one year that it snowed into like May, I think it was like 2014, we got all that snow. Like it was still snowing in May and like even early June or something crazy like that. And that year, like I got a lot of stuff done.
There was no sunshine beckoning out the front door.
Yes, exactly. Especially with the kids, like Hadley, especially being older, really wants to get outside and be out and everything. So I know it's going to be a lot tougher to justify sitting in my office working when I could be outside with her.
Absolutely. I don't blame her a bit. That was always like the best part of college is when the sun would come out and your professor or TA or something would be like, why don't we do class outside? And we'd go sit on the lawn and never be as productive as we would be in a classroom, but we all felt better.
Yes. So one time, one of my professors was like, yeah, let's go sit outside. It's great. And it was March, okay? It was like for whatever reason, every now and then up here in Minnesota and Wisconsin, we get like a couple of days of like 70 degrees in March. And everybody just starts like walking around in their shorts and t-shirts. Yep. And it's fantastic. We love it. It never lasts very long, but it was one of those magical like 2 or 3 day stretches. And we went outside for this hour and a half long class and I got the worst sunburn. Like I was peeling. And then like, you know, it was snowing a couple days after that again. So I looked just ridiculous because I was like bright red, like I'd been at the beach, but no, just one outdoor class and that was enough.
Hey Ashley, where'd you go on spring break? The lawn, I mean.
Yeah, basically like I went to linguistics class, guys.
That's crazy. And I always love when people are breaking out the shorts and flip-flops on those 65, 70 degree days, but like it hasn't been warm enough long enough for all the snow to melt. So there's people in flip-flops and shorts walking past these like mountains of snow in parking lots. And that always makes me smile.
Yeah, it is kind of a nice juxtaposition. I think those are the pictures that make the rest of the country be like, what is wrong with you guys? And we're like, no, but it's not cold out. It was like 65 that day. It's fine.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So,
yeah. So how about books? Because I know you've said that you've been sort of, you know, you're very baby focused right now. And I know when you're waiting on a baby, it's hard to concentrate on books or to even find time to read books when you're like, oh, I have to put together a crib so my kid has somewhere to sleep, you know, priorities. But with maternity leave coming up, you might, I say might because, you know, babies are still a lot of work, but you might have a little bit more time to read. So do you have any reading goals coming up?
Yeah, I don't have any reading goals, but like you said, I've read practically nothing this spring so far, or this winter spring, like January, February, March, which is really, really sad to me because I'm finally done building a house. I should have all this time. And instead, it's a lot of like I said, classes and list making and all these kinds of things. And by the time you get home, you just want to go to sleep. So I'm hoping I read more on maternity leave. I know a couple of you have often or have said reading on a Kindle or an iPad or something is a lot easier while sitting there through all of those feeding sessions because you can one hand it. So I should probably figure out a few books to upload or download to the Kindle app on my iPad and figure out what I'm going to read. I imagine I should probably focus on more fluffy stuff as opposed to anything too heavy or literary or brain taxing. Is that a suggestion you would make?
Yeah, that's what I typically do, is fluffier things. And I also, like, this is my personal preference, but I try to stay away from anything that's super emotional. So, like, if there's a book where everybody's like, oh, you'll cry so much, or if there's a book about like a small child being kidnapped or something horrible like that, like, just do your hormones a favor and stay away from that type of material. Like, keep it fairly like light and fluffy in all regards.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, Paul Kalanithi's When Breath Becomes Air became available on my hold shelf at the library. And I was like, I think I'm going to just pass on that one for right now. Maybe wait 6-8 months and then go for it.
Yeah, it's got to be hard to pass on that after, like, you know, it's supposed to be such a good book. I haven't read it, but I've heard, yes, like, I'm assuming the same things you've heard, where it's like, I should stay away from that at the moment. Yeah. But such a book that's probably so good, you got to be like, no, I need to, like, leave you there for several more months.
Yes. So wisely avoided that one, I think, for the time being, but I will get there. So, and you have kind of the opposite goal of me. You want to do less fluff and more classics, which is the opposite of what you normally do as well. So how is that going to go?
Yeah. So usually I would be going into summer thinking more like fluffy books, because winter I would rather focus on, like, the, you know, the heavier reading material or the longer books. But I'm just coming off of my, like, newborn season. Reagan is 7 months, so I guess she hasn't really been like a new newborn for a while, but I did find myself in kind of a cycle of reading those fluffier books, and I would really like to get into more classics again. It's been a long time since I feel like I've had the brain power to dive deep into a classic, or even longer books. Like, right now I'm reading, it's my workout book at the gym, actually. I'm reading it on my Kindle, and it's, I'm going to screw their names up. I know it. It's Jonathan Norrell and Mr. Strange, I think, or Mr. Norrell and Jonathan Strange. I'm like,
I think that's it.
Mr. Norrell and Jonathan Strange. Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
And it's by Susanna. Sure. I think it's by Susanna somebody. I would need to look up the author's name. This will all be in the show notes accurately if you need to.
I want to say, reference that. I want to say it's Susanna Clark. C-L-A-R-K-E.
Oh, that sounds right.
I say this because that book is also on my nightstand at the moment, because Scott bought it for me for Christmas, and I set it on my nightstand to be the thing that I read before I go to sleep, and I think I've read the preface since Christmas.
See, and that's why you know the title, but I'm reading the e-reader version, and when you're reading the e-book, you never see the cover page, so I'm always like, what is this book called that I'm reading again? But okay, now I need you to tell me, because you have the hard copy of this book, how long is this book? Because I feel like I have been reading it for like 3 months fairly regularly, and I'm 25% of the way through, and almost nothing has happened plot-wise, and I'm like, what? How long is this thing?
I am not at all surprised. This book is, I have a paperback version, and I honestly think it must be at least 3 inches thick.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's very large.
I had no idea it was that long. Since I'm reading the ebook version, I was just like, oh, I've been meaning to read this. Like, I saw it on Netflix and it, like, reminded me that I had it on my to read shelf. I was like, oh, I want to read the book before I watch it on Netflix. So I started it, and like 3 months later, I'm still plugging away.
You might be able to watch that in 2018. Conservative estimate.
Okay. Well, considering that I only read it at the gym and I only walk for like a half hour or 40 minutes at a time, because I use the rest of my gym time to like do my actual work while my kids are in childcare. So like, I'm not making fast progress at all, but it almost reminds me of Dickens, except better, because I don't really like Dickens. But it's got this very like Victorian England feel, and it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And there's like all these historical asides, and I'm so interested. But if I were to tell you what has happened so far, like nothing, like almost nothing has happened. Like, I could sum up what has happened that's important to the plot in like 2 sentences. And I'm like 25% of the way through this book, which is like over 200 pages, I'm guessing. And it's insane.
Yeah. Well, interesting. I'm interested to see how that continues to go for you. Cause I keep thinking like, oh, maybe I'll pick that one up. But I don't think that is going to be a newborn phase kind of a book, even though like it's blurbed by all of the best people. And they're all like, this is the best book on magical history or whatever in the last century or something to that effect.
Yeah, so. Like, it is very good. I'm very interested in it. It's got kind of a quirky writing style, so if you don't appreciate mm-hmm. that, that might turn you off of it. But I have really been liking it, and it's my hope that perhaps I will finish it at some point this summer. I guess mm-hmm. that's a goal. Finish this one book.
It's a worthy goal. Just be glad you have the Kindle version, because it is enormous, and lugging that back and forth to the gym would be a workout in and of itself.
I would never do it, because I've already got like my work stuff in my bag. Half the time I have my laptop yeah. with me, which always feels like stupid bringing your laptop to the gym. But I've already got so much stuff in my bag. I only read Kindle books when I'm at the gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's smart too, because then you don't have to try to like hold it on the elliptical thing and turn the pages and
yes,
all that.
Exactly. So I think that's pretty much all that we had for this catch-up episode. Was there anything else you had to talk about?
No, that's kind of life as we know it at the moment, just trucking along.
Yeah, so quick shout out, because we did this last time, and I don't think we didn't talk about doing this, so you're probably unprepared, Abby, but last time we took our break and we were like, what other podcast should you listen to while we're not here? And my recommendation right now is the Lazy Genius podcast, which is Kendra Adachi's podcast. And you can listen to our interview with her. I think she was episode 10 in the first season that we did. It was about a year ago it came out, but she recently relaunched her podcast, the Lazy Genius podcast, and it is so, so much fun. It's like the Lazy Genius shops at Aldi, and then she tells you how to shop at Aldi. Like, she tells you how to like bring your quarter and how to use their carts and that you have mm-hmm. to bring cash. Like, she just breaks it all down for you. And she's got all these episodes like this. There's 3 out right now, and I can't wait to see what other ones she has planned. So go listen to Kendra while we're not here.
Yes, I was super excited when I saw her podcast pop back up in my feed that she was re-releasing again. So I would second that one. And then a podcast that you turned me on to over the summer, I think, Ashley, was Straight and Curly. And that is the mm-hmm. other one that I listen to as soon as it comes out every week. And it's by these two gals in, is it Australia or New Zealand? Or
it's Australia. Both? And I'm pretty sure okay. that if you get it wrong, like, I think if you mix up Australia and New Zealand, like,
they people get, really get mad at you. This is coming from the girl who has a history degree, so I should know my geography.
Yeah.
But yes, Australian, and they have the best accents, and they talk about really great stuff, all about productivity and making friends as an adult. I think that was one of my favorite episodes. Mm-hmm. They just do some really, really cool stuff. So Straight and Curly, and you can listen to it on iTunes just like you would any American podcast.
Yes, so they are delightful to listen to. I love their accents so much.
It's pretty great. I just want someone like that to narrate my life story someday. So those are our podcast recommendations here off the cuff. Hopefully you guys can find something to fill your ears as we are gone for a little while again.
Yeah, and it will be a little while. We don't know exactly when we'll be back. I think we would hope to be releasing episodes again towards the end of summer 2017, but we don't know for sure. We're going to leave you space to enjoy your maternity leave and to get to know your new baby and take it slow. And we're going to have space for me to work on my business and not go insane with trying to edit the podcast in the background. So we're just going to play it by ear.
And read one really large book.
Yes. Yes. One really large book. Maybe I should just stop reading 7 books at the same time and just read that one and I'll actually finish it.
That's a novel idea.
It
maybe,
is.
Maybe we'll try that.
Yeah, I don't know if I can. I'm just too addicted to like, Hadley does the exact same thing. She'll be like, read books to me. And I'm like, I'll get halfway through one. And she's like, no, this one instead. And she'll do that like 4 or 5 times. I'm like, oh man, this is my kid.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this nature or nurture?
I don't know, but it's coming around. It's like karma.
Well, hopefully everyone has a wonderful spring, summer, and whatever it is when you're listening to this podcast, and we will see you in season 4.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to our newsletter for important podcast updates.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you'd leave us a review in iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Creeves or at Brooks Editorial, or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter or Instagram.
If there's a topic you'd love to hear us explore on the podcast, or if you just want to introduce yourself and say hi, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next time, go chase your creative.